Good evening. The projects of ours in these days are not only intellectually, but also physically very challenging. So I'm very happy that you all came back and did not rely on our bar only. My major point tonight is this. We are deeply transforming our worlds, but we did not yet, to the same extent, develop the languages and the conceptual means to deal with these new worlds. In other words, our conceptual tools deal quite often with worlds which do not anymore exist. On the basis of this analysis, I will develop an idea about the role of cultural institutions in our time. August 2005, Hurricane Katrina hit the US coast. 1,800 people died, 80% of the city of New Orleans was underwater, up to 7.60 meters. Major dams had burst. The costs to reconstruct the area were estimated to amount to $108 billion. Then 12 years later, in August 2017, Hurricane Harvey devastated the south of the United States once more. This time, with the city of Houston, Texas, as its center, the cost of the damage was estimated to be even higher. At a conference here in the Haus der Kultur in der Welt 3 months ago, Hito Steyerl, who is with us tonight, I'm very happy, asked the question, where is ground control today? Where does all the data about the world come together, and from where do we control it? And her answer was, as we all know, ground control is in Houston, Texas. However, in September 2017, ground control was underwater. With that image, Houston, Texas became the iconic city of our times. On the one side, this city is a place with the best surveillance technology, with some of the most brilliant minds, and of course, it is one of the most important centers of the petrol industry, which still provides the energy to fuel the rapid transformation we are going through. But on the other hand, it is exactly this rapid transformation driven by big technological infrastructures and fossil energies which destabilizes the very world it produces. It is a driver of climate change and of the rising temperatures of the seas, in short, of the Anthropocenic age. How can we act within such a world? There are two possible strategies which I would like to outline in this short talk. The prognostic strategy and the cynic strategy. The prognostic strategy is usually employed by the insurance industry. They offer clients the prospect of minimizing their risks, compensating loss by providing financial support, for example, in the case of damages caused by natural disasters such as hurricanes. Their business model relies on predicting the future, on forecasting what may happen. And they do that on the basis of probability calculation. Can we have the first slide? Probability is the likelihood of one or more events happening divided by the number of possible outcomes. In the case of rolling a 3 on a dice, the number of events is 1. There's only 1 3 on each dice, and the number of possible outcomes is 6. The probability to end up with is a 3. With a 3 is therefore 1/6 or 16.67%. In order to calculate the probability of an event, two preconditions need to be established. Firstly, the objects of probability needs to be discrete. In this case, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And secondly, there needs to be a discrete number of possible outcomes. This is the set of possible outcomes. The probability will be a number between 0 and 1. In the case of 1, it is certain that the event will occur. In the case of zero, the event will not occur for certain. With a rising demand to deal with risks, on the one hand, insurance companies become more and more important. On the other hand, risks are increasingly difficult to foresee and to calculate. And both developments are interrelated, as we can see when we look at two major events which challenge the concepts of the insurance industry. The first event is September 11. There, shortly after the event, insurances canceled contracts of air companies related to damages of skyscrapers and airplanes after possible attacks. They hope that the governments will take over costs in these cases. The second event is Fukushima, after which insurance companies in Japan had to recalculate risk assumptions. These two cases exemplify the problems which are built into the approach of forecasting the futures on the basis of probability models as described before. Calculating the probability of an event namely presupposes, as I said, two major points. A, a fixed set of possible outcomes, namely six in this case, and clearly defined objects or events, the numbers. In both events, September 11 and the Fukushima event, the intertwinedness of human action and the technological environment created a disaster unknown up to this point. In the September 11 event, a few individuals used airplanes to target the Twin Towers, creating a human infrastructure event which was killing more than 3,000 people. The scale of violence was only understandable when one creates a new kind of agency which combines humans, infrastructure, and the use of technology in one entity. The insurance models were not able to deal with this situation because in their calculations, such a world did not exist. Their calculation did not take such mixed identities as the September 11 one up to this point into account. Their catalog of objects and set of possible outcomes is designed to apply to the world as we knew it on a historical world. This construction allows the insurance companies to look from the outside onto it and attach probability numbers to each possible event. This functions in an environment which is more or less stable, where the world of the past is more or less the world of the future. But, and this is the irony of our situation, the demand to insure risks is rising today exactly because in the world of the Anthropocene, this stability is decreasing day by day. Whereas the world of the Holocene was characterized by a more or less stable climate, the interventions of humans into the Earth system disbalanced the whole system in the time of the Anthropocene. Humans are no longer protagonists in front of a quasi-fixed backdrop, which is nature. Human actions mediated by technologies and natural processes become more and more intertwined, creating new forms of events. In addition, technological infrastructures, the technosphere, is no longer under full control of humans. It develops a kind of agency of its own, which creates new phenomena by itself and increases the risks. All the developments add to the fact that probability calculations based on the past and the stable object world would fail. They calculate the risks of worlds which do not anymore exist. Having said this, it seems that the change is not still fast enough to lead to an implosion of the system. It is still good enough for the insurance businesses to recalculate risks in the event of new unforeseen events. The dynamization of the material worlds we are facing today also challenge philosophical systems, which for a long time shaped human conceptions and thought about the world. Let me take as an example Kant's transcendental philosophy, which seems to be the historical reference to the much-discussed predictive processing paradigm in computational and cognitive neuroscience. Kant attempts in the Critique of Pure Reason to stabilize the physics of Newton by proposing a categorical model which explains why the work of natural science in the frame of this physics is possible. One major category in this frame is the category of causality. Causality is a relationship between events. These events are natural events as constructed in physical theory. In the categorical world of Kant, they are clearly separated from the world of human actions, which are driven by intentions and on the basis of free decisions of human beings. The problem of our world is that this clear distinction between human actions and natural processes does not function anymore, at least in many cases. In events triggered by climate change, human actions play a constitutive role. Therefore, the relationships between climate events cannot anymore be described on the basis of a causal relationship in the sense of Kant and his followers. What we need are new forms of world building, of approaches which allow us to conceptualize these dynamized worlds. One such form is the Scenic Model. When we opened the Anthropocene project at the HKW in 2013, we started to explore this model. And I will give you one example. In the opening of the Anthropocene project, we grounded discourses on social, geological, economical, and technological developments in an island topography. It was introduced by a quote of Gilles Deleuze, quote, "Islands are either from before or from after humankind." It was a topography which decenters discourses, invites to reflect the perspective, namely island, from which you are speaking, and finally asks for relating in a non-linear way your position to others. In one of the islands called Techné, scientists were confronted with a being or entity oscillating between human, machine, or animal-like appearances in a performance by Xavier Leroy. The performance was not illustrating machine, animal, or human behavior. It draws the gaze of the viewer in a process of transformations, destabilizes the look because the categories of judgment become fluid in front of the eyes of the viewer. In trying to relate to the scene, spectators or viewers could either stabilize the body of the performer, in this case the movements became properties of the body, or they could also try to identify the machine movement or the animal or the human part of the movement. In this case, movement itself became the basic entity, which is divided into time phases. So you could go on both sides. Either you could take the body as the identification, then you have B epsilon M, or you take time, the movement, as a basis, and then you have M epsilon B. So you could go navigate these two options. The performance scene was inviting the viewers as participants of the scene, and this is very important, that the viewer is part of the scene itself. It's not looking up to the scene, to shift between different object worlds. One object world based on human bodies, the other on movements. The performance scene itself is ontologically neutral. It incorporates only the potential for world making. And in this very precise sense, the Scenic Model becomes a tool of world making. Aesthetically trained by such kind of Scenic Models, the viewer learns to navigate in more and more dynamized worlds. As opposed to the prognostic model, He is not looking onto the objective world, but navigating through worlds, being in the scenes themselves. There may be a context where the stabilization of a classical object world would make sense, whereas in the next situation, a time-based orientation may be more adequate. Since we are in a situation of transformation, also the causal relationship, as Kant explained it, is working in certain kinds of environment, but it's not working anymore for all processes which are looked at normally natural processes. The new forms of conceptualization of mobility are an example where the shift from an object-based world to a process-oriented worldview is taking place at the moment. The mobility of the 20th century was object-based. The symbol for this worldview is the car. The car is many things: a fetish, fast, slow, beautiful. This is also true for planes, trains, etc. The major change of recent years is that even the car industry no longer only invests ideas into how to make cars more beautiful or faster, but also how mobility systems can be developed. In the past, owning a car was a guarantee for mobility. Now mobility itself has become the object or as a process or function. It can be realized by various exchangeable activities, such as driving a car, flying a plane, riding a bicycle, using trains, etc. The former objects become time phases of the mobility scheme. In the face of climate change and new working environments, we may no longer organize our world around trees, houses, cars, etc., but around storms, sunny days, floods, vacations, work, rising markets, falling markets, etc. The trees, houses, cars, that means the codified objects of the 20th century world, would turn into events, into these time phases. This would mean we are in the process of transforming a topological order or world into a time order or world. Linguistically, the time dimension was built into the verb of a sentence. Now it becomes the subject, whereas the classical objects will, in the form of time phases, take on the form of the predicate. We are experiencing a grammatical recomposition of our language, or we need to do that in order to take into account the new phenomena. As I try to show, it is the role of scenic models to provide time-space frames which offer the opportunity to shift between different worlds and thereby provide the opportunity for modeling new worlds. And from my perspective, it is a task and challenge of cultural institutions of the 21st century to develop such models in order to engage in new forms of world-making. These forms are the complementary cultural tools to the engineering of new worlds and provide the language to discuss and negotiate these transformations in the public sphere. Let me, at the end of this talk, thank all of you participants who engaged in the last days into this really incredible enterprise, to thank you very much from the perspective of the House of World Cultures. Being a participant observer, I have to say that for me, it was an incredible cognitive as well as sensorial experience. With these words, I hand over to Katrin Klingan, who is a curator of the house in this project. Thank you.